When you look at man throughout the many centuries of civilization, he has always elevated individuals of singular accomplishments to places of honor and distinction. You know, we make heroes out of a few and call everyone else just common folk. Admittedly, there are those who have singular accomplishments and they call for distinction of some sorts. But there are many so honored that would be nothing if it were not for the hard work and accomplishments of the so-called common worker. You know, where would we be without the skilled talent and hard labor of the average person? There would be no great cathedrals, no cities or towns, no hospitals or schools, no defense of one's homeland, no great symphonic orchestras, no interstate roads and bridges, limited food to eat, and even fewer great works of art and literature. It is out of the achievements of common, ordinary people that the world as we know it has evolved. Without the worker bees, there would be no honey. And without the ordinary common people, life would be without form and substance. It is the ordinary folk who make the world go round. Just think about that. The nature of mankind in history, though, is to ignore or at best diminish the common people who contribute so much to everybody's life. So many have given not only the sweat of their brows, but get over their lives for society's well-being. Just think, if nobody filled, for instance, that lowly job of being a sanitation worker, just think what it'd be. But we take them all for granted and put on a pedestal those who are propelled into the limelight because of society's misconceived value system. The Gospels, though, give us another picture as to life's values and the importance of those considered to be just common folk. It was to the common worker and the working class, the common people, that Jesus entrusted his great message, the gospel. This is very evident in the choice of his disciples. They came from the working class or from occupations which were despised, such as Matthew the tax collector. Notice, his appeal was not to those of power and wealth, those of privilege and standing, authority and influence. This was no more evident than in our gospel lesson today. There were no harder workers than fishermen of that day. They fished in the very early morning hours, the darkness of night even, starting before dawn. Then they spent most of the day cleaning their nets and selling their catch. Their workday was long, and the work was demanding upon them physically, with little time for anything else. They had to endure all kinds of weather, while at times experiencing the frustration of catching little to nothing. But it was an important job, for they helped to feed the masses. It was one of these frustrating and disappointing days for Simon Peter and his partner, the sons of Zebedee, James and John. They were out all night casting their nets, but coming up with nothing. Empty. Then when dawn struck and the morning hours of sunlight signaled the end of their toil, they gave up and came to shore in order to clean and mend it and dry their nets. All that work, but nothing to show for it. Days like this were so discouraging. But that was part of being a fisherman. That was a reality of life for them. Now this particular morning when they were cleaning up, they saw Jesus with a large crowd of people. Evidently, this was not an uncommon sight for them. For these fishermen and Jesus seemed perhaps to at least know each other or been acquainted in some capacity. The crowd was pressing in on Jesus, so he asked Simon to let him aboard his boat and set out a little offshore so that he could more adequately teach the people. Even though he was tired and frustrated, Simon did this, for we are told, then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. At this point, Simon had most likely heard Jesus before and was at least somewhat of a follower. Jesus saw something in Simon and his partners, James and John, that was very special, even though they were ordinary, just working people, common people. Upon ending his teaching, Jesus put to test what he saw in these three fishermen. Whether or not from the vantage point of standing up in the boat, he was able to see the surface ripples that a large shoal of fish would make, or it was a miracle of God, is not the important fact of what was to happen. Regardless, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Well, you can imagine what Simon, James, and John must have felt and thought. They were already tired, frustrated. And here is this non-fisherman telling them to do something which they thought, from their experience, to be totally a waste of time. "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." Now, for some reason, they most likely, very reluctantly, did as Jesus had told them. Maybe a little bit of grumbling under their breath. More than what was to follow, I believe the miracle was that these weathered, hardened, and professional fishermen followed the advice of this itinerant teacher. And when they let down their nets, and lo and behold, they were filled to overflowing with fish, the sheer weight of that catch was to the point of endangering their nets. They had to call for others to help. They had caught so many fish that their boats were to the point of sinking. Wow. What a catch. This must have caused frustration to turn into elation and tired bodies to be rejuvenated. It must have been a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's a fisherman's dream come true. Such a catch. Such a catch would bring a period of prosperity to them. They may even have been able to take some time off from their labors, but always knowing that they would have to return to the sea for their living. It was such a moment of elation and awe. And Luke relates, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with them were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were included. The test was almost over. Although skeptical, they had blindly followed Jesus' directions of some kind of loyalty and belief in him. What else would they have done, something against all their experiences, all their sound reasoning and logic? They followed him. They followed his directions. Now we are told that when Simon Peter saw what had occurred, he was awestruck. For such a catch was well beyond reality. He at that time knew that this Jesus was much more than just the ordinary itinerant preacher of the day. He was a special man of God. Therefore, we are told he fell down at Jesus' knees. "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Sinful, for he had really questioned Jesus' direction to lower his nets again. His partners, James and John, evidently shared in this total amazement. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Jesus knew that in this ordinary man, a common fisherman, there was something special about him. He knew that he would be able to count on him as a vital partner of the proclamation of God's love. But he also saw the same in James and John. He knew these common workers would be the core of his followers, his most trusted of his disciples. What was to follow was even more amazing. Here they had the catch of a lifetime. Just think of this. The catch of a lifetime, which would have given them a good amount of money. But what did they do? Evidently, they left it all to those other fishermen to reap the benefits. There is no indication that these other partners even shared the profits with Simon, James, and John. Perhaps they did, and perhaps they did not. Regardless, we are told they left everything and followed him. They left everything they had spent their lives working for, the great catch of fish, their nets, their boats, and their business, and followed this Jesus. This took a great faith. For they were leaving a secure lifestyle for a life which they had no inkling of what would happen to them. There were times when they did have second thoughts, but in the long run, they continued to trust this Jesus. It was with these ordinary men and common folk of the of his ministry, that Jesus would give the responsibility to carry forth the good news of God's revelation of his great and eternal love. They would be the ones to spread the message of the gospel. Not so much Jesus, but they would be left. Even though the latter apostle, Paul, who joined these special followers, was more than just a commoner, but by far not among the elite. He was a totally unlikely convert, Paul. He joined this rank. It was this band of unlikely, but in a large, ordinary people who formed and established the early church. From this group, the message of Jesus would spread throughout the world. Just think. Few ordinary common people had that influence upon the history of mankind until today. You know, often we think of ourselves as unlikely, ordinary folk without having any power to change life. To the contrary, you and I are just who can make the greatest difference when we answer God's call to be fishers of people. We are the ones who can change the lives of those with whom we have contact. We are the ones who can show by our example of God's love. We are the ones who can change life with this example of love. You know, that makes us far more than just an ordinary person, but a person of hope, a person of love, a person of importance, a person who can give new life to others. Therefore, the ordinary person turns into the extraordinary child of God. We are that child of God who can and does make a difference. And boy, do we need that today in our society. The love of God needs to spread through the love that we share with each other and with that stranger or with that other common folk. Amen.